Hello and welcome to ProU Podcast, episode number 403, Lessons Learned. I actually just came up with that title. I really couldn't figure out a title for this one. There was a few different ones that popped through my head, but I had one sticky note, and I didn't even read it on the podcast. But it said, Lessons Learned. How many times do we need to learn the same lesson? And that's kind of what stuck with me, because there were learning moments. It always... everywhere. And I think if you can recognize that really, truly, every moment is a potential to learn something or reconfirm that it's about responding. You know what I mean? Like everything, like, oh, like whatever it is. Okay, hey, this is going to teach me patience. Oh, hey, this stopped me from maybe getting hurt. Oh, okay, now, hey, I can practice controlling my thoughts because this isn't something I planned. Moment to moment to moment. And there's just some great client moments that I share, and they're learning some huge lessons. Like, it's just a good time. It's a good time to be me. It's a good time to be in my tribe. Trust me on that. And my experiences, you know, interviewing the artists, you know, around the world and having them on the podcast is just, I mean, it's just been a dream. So at this point, when this one comes out, two have been released and I have two more recorded that are coming, and I will record my own podcast in between each one of those. So two are out, two more coming as of now. And I just feel stoked, pumped, and super thankful that, you know, I get to be me right now. You know, I get to do what I do. I get to have these conversations, moments, experiences, and watching my clients, like right now, it's just a joy. It is just a joy to see people doing better, aware they're doing better, and highly appreciative. Like, there is nothing else that fills me like that. So if you would like to chat at all, find out what the deal is. Maybe you're thinking it's time you want to be part of the ProU tribe due to the positive vibe that has been and just remains, this awesome flow of energy. And like I said, it's just like a dope thing to be a part of right now, because I, you know, I'm a mirror. I know what to say, and I can help people, so I'm doing it, and they're digging it, and they're thankful. And that energy is always what I've yearned to create. And the fact that I'm kind of just hanging out in that, hugely humbling, hugely rewarding, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Thank you for being you. And again, just if you're just thinking about reaching out, please do. I am here. Enjoy. Hello, it's me. So reading from the Buddha Groove, Five Simple Paths to Spiritual Wellness. And they have a picture with water and stones floating on the water like they were stepping stones. Whenever I see stones in the photo, I'm like, oh, look. It's spreading. It's catching on. We spend vast amounts of time building our bodies and training our minds in the name of health and wellness. So why not invest the same energy into the spiritual part of our well-being? Here are a few simple yet powerful approaches to spiritual wellness. Number one, meditation. meditation affects the deepest part of ourselves, allowing us to work towards happiness and peace in our lives. Even a few minutes of meditation a day can help you view yourself as a spiritual being, not just a physical body. 2. Movement. Activities like yoga and tai chi can be practiced individually and will help you remember your first physical forms before language and social expectations. Simple movements connect you to basic elements of your human identity. 3. Engagement. Become part of a supportive, optimistic group of people who will help you see the goodness in the world. Compassion. Practice love daily to friends and strangers alike. Compassion frees us from fear and uncertainty, showing us that there are deeper human connections than are visible to the eye. 5. Explore. Stand beside the ocean and feel small. Watch the stars at night and try to count the trees in the forest. Get outside and breathe in the air, realizing that you are part of a greater system. 2nd one, how spirituality boosts wellness. When you think of wellness, what comes to mind? Is it smoothies, kale, working out? What about a few moments of meditation, daily prayer, or a trip to your local temple? Spirituality means different things to different people. For some, it relates primarily to a religious faith, while for others, it's about exploring their purpose and finding a connection with the universe. There is no one way to be spiritual, and yet having a strong spiritual and having a strong spiritual core is actually very good for us. While it won't magically change your cholesterol levels or make broccoli taste good, an ongoing spiritual practice can benefit you on a deeper, holistic level. Here's how. Decreases the risk of loneliness. Spiritual practices often put us in touch with a larger community, be it a local yoga group, church, or temple. Finding a sense of belonging with others based on shared beliefs is how we prevent against isolation and depression, both of which can have a severe consequence on health and quality of your life. Inspires forgiveness. Whether it's a Christian tradition of mercy or a Buddhist tradition of letting go, spiritual practices tend to encourage forgiveness. Relinquishing bitterness and anger doesn't just feel good, it has shown to improve our relationships. Creates coping skills. Spirituality equips us with healthy rituals that can lower stress and help us manage emotions, especially during difficult times. Prayer, meditation, and journaling all have tangible benefits for mental and/or physical well-being. A strong spiritual core often helps individuals draw meaning from their suffering and pain, which can inspire hope and resilience in the midst of a struggle. Spirituality may not be something you think to develop when focusing on personal health, and yet it is an innate aspect of being human. Tend to your spirit, and you tend to yourself. I like that stuff. And two that were rather similar. So, I had just one of the coolest moments. And I don't know, it kind of stood for something, represented something, proved something. Client, new client, been in 4 weeks. Very excited to chat with them for the 4th meeting. And some cool things kind of happened in the first 4 weeks that, you know, truly had nothing to do with our meeting. But that being said, they were still cool things. So, like, it just immediately got better for this cat, and then it got better, and then it got better, and it was just, like, you know, 4 weeks. And there was some serious positive change going on, and it was a delight to be a part of that and witness it and experience it. So I had a question for him. First thing I did was point out, I go, you just proved it's possible to go from feeling A to feeling B. And you prove that you did it, that you can do it. And if you did it once, you can do it again. I said, what's the biggest difference that you feel personally from 4 weeks ago till now? And his answer, I believe in myself more. And it was kind of funny. He's like, okay, great, cool answer. And I think it was like from an acting class or something. You just keep asking and you just keep asking. And I just went into this thing like very naturally. And I said, why do you believe in yourself more? And he said, well, I was sitting around with some friends and they were saying some really nice things and I was feeling them because I was listening. And I said, why are you listening? And he kind of looked at me. And I'm like, it's because you're present. And he's like, yeah. So he's like nodding and his eyes are all big. And I go, why are you present? And again, he's kind of like, like taking him where he had no idea we were going. Because you quieted the noise already. And that's how easy. I mean, I was kind of like fired up, like, here it is. Like, in 4 simple weeks, you quiet that noise. Space is created. Good comes in. The good that lies within you. You feel good. You feel thankful. It makes you present. And when you're present, you're aware. You're ready. You're in the moment. You're available. And if you just tap into what I just talked about once, well, yay, now you definitely can do it again. And it felt good, so you probably will do it again. And you just get caught up like in this pro-you twister. And all of a sudden you're elevating and you're vibrating higher. And it's a couple of days later and I got a text from the same individual about something else that kind of cool that happened. And you know, he's just like, this is just great. And I replied, vibrate higher, attract higher. 2 + 2 = 4. And I was like, man, if that's not concisely what I'm selling for free. But it was just so great. You know, because like each client, I kind of like feel a little bit more confident. Like, yeah, I kind of help everybody. I mean, I really don't think there's anyone I can't help. And they kind of fall into these patterns and I see they're good right away. And, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of like with Zen. People are like, you know, wow, you did that to Zen. And I'm like, well, I spent a lot of time with Zen. I mean, that's a fact. You know, if you are a parent or a teacher or whatever, and you don't spend personal one-on-one time with that person, student, friend, pet, you know, they're not going to be listening as much. But I did spend a ton of time. But Zen was something special. Like Zen took commands and ran with them, understood them, demonstrated that he understood what I said fully. And this is a dog. So at that point, I started, well, I'm treating him like a dog. I'm totally treating him like a spiritual being, which he is. But it was that thing where, you know, last few clients I had, I sat down in like the first meeting. I was like, well, I don't really see the bad. I'm like, well, I guess that's what it is you're stuck. You know, you're focusing on something that's not serving you, and maybe it's blocked from your vision, or you aren't really deeming yourself worthy enough to get to that vantage point, you know, because you have to do some work to vibrate higher, and it is not all fun, and it is not all familiar, but if you vibrate higher, you attract things, people, moments, experiences that vibrate higher. Sounds like a club you want to join, right? Well, it has been a total joy talking to artists on my podcast. Second one is actually released today, Sean Corcoran, and it was just stuck out. It's like by far just one of my favorite podcasts out of 402. Number 402 was Sean. And I was just like, I love it. I love that my life is in a place where I can ask dudes like that to come on my podcast. And it can be for me and it can fill me. And I can just say, I have that forever. You know, now there's a, you know, there's a kindred kind of friendship now with these cats. So I have two out and then I recorded two more. And I'm going to put one of my own in between each one. So we got two more coming that I have recorded. But just like, you know, I don't really like a lot of people. I don't really talk to a lot of people. But these, man, when you find the right people, you can just talk and talk. And it's filling. And you understand them and you connect on so many levels. And they're inspiring. I mean, I recorded a podcast with an artist and I went out to the beach that day and I think I did it one other time. It just like felt so good and inspired and, you know, just talking to this artist and where they were at. And it was, like I said, it was completely a personal thing. Like, okay, you did 400, but have some guests on that you'd like to just chat with. And it's the greatest. But yeah, I just love it. Like it's the coolest thing in the world. You know, I'm just sitting here going, wow, I have two out, I have two coming. You know, I'm just, it's like I'm in it right now of going, wow, I've got these, you know, two of my favorite artists, you know, by their work. And then two artists that I just love as people, like out of everybody. So like, you know, four dudes that I just really, really, truly respect, admire, and you know, love at this point and pumped about. You know, I mean, it would be really hard for me not to go to Llano, Texas next year to the live event, which I'm sure everybody is, you know, fired up on doing and going back. But after the connection of being on the global thing and after talking to these artists, there's just no, yeah, I mean, I might have no idea why I wouldn't go. And that was the only, it's like, yay. But it was like, what to do with Zen? Like for the first time ever, I was like, well, if I go there with him, you know, how much fun is that for him? You know, because it can be some long hours because you go there and you kind of work, you know, and that's what I would love to do. And I'm like, you know, okay, then what if I left him in the hotel room? I'm like, is that better than, you know, just leaving him here? And I'm like, oh. And this feeling or thought I never, ever wanted to feel or think about came up. Because not this past year, obviously it was global, but the year before, it's like an 18-hour car drive. And I researched it. I'm like, wow, that's a long drive. And I just wasn't really sure about flying. And with Zen, and then, you know, that event, COVID kind of affected. So I was kind of stoked that I didn't go anywhere. But next year, so I've got, you know, almost a year to kind of figure out what my plan is. But it was, I don't know, it was just, I just enjoyed talking to these guys. And here are two things that I noticed right away. I'm the oldest. Same thing again. Like I get into a show, we start hanging out, I find out I'm one of the older guys. I do a show in Japan, I'm the older guy. I go into an acting class, find out I'm one of the older guys. You know, like everything I kind of do. And I knew a couple were younger than me. And then two, I just didn't really know. But end of the day, all of them, all younger than me. And all great family. Great parents get along with their fathers. It was something that just kind of stood out. Like, yeah, my father was just, you know, really supportive, you know, pushed me into being artistic and creative. And in my head, I was going, wow, what would that be like? Because again, I mean, I don't even want to say I was doing art. It was like I was escaping L.A., and trying to go somewhere to tip the scales of balance, to have some peace and harmony in my life without really realizing it. And it was just you know, dabbling, you know, all important in my growth, I believe, but I wasn't trying to make a statement, make an artist, have a style, be, you know, I mean, nothing at all. I really, truly believe the benefit was it just made me feel better, and it was a time of, you know, I think there was just a lot of chaos in my life. So that was always the balance thing. But when I look at these guys, they studied art. They took art in college, you know, graduated with artistic degrees, and then have been pursuing it for, you know, 15, 20 years. So the yin and the yang was that same thing. When I joined karate and I was 18, and I was like meeting these 12-year-old black belts, and I'm like, wow, why didn't I do this sooner? Like, you know, that same kind of feeling. I'm like, why am I always late to the party? But then the other part of it is like, look at you. Like, you just kind of really started getting, like, fired up on this stuff recently. And you got invited to Leaf, and now you're talking to these dudes. Like, how great is that, that you kind of got in? And they're great people, and they're loving and, you know, kind, and, you know, they're like nature-loving people, you know what I mean? And they're artistic and creative and inspirational and nice. And so there was no bad. It wasn't like, wow, I feel bad I didn't have that family support or that fatherly support. I was just happy for these people because they became who they became, who I love and admire, by the people that raised them, by their parents, by their fathers. So I was happy for each one of them that they had a pretty, you know, dope childhood experience, family, growing up, support and love. I loved that. And then it was, like I said, it was just kind of figures. I'm the older dude. So normal's coming. Normal-ish is coming back. Traffic way busier. Gas got more expensive. Beaches are busier. Takes longer to get to the beach. People are just wanting to go back to restaurants and movie theaters, gyms. And I'm so not. And this is the weirdest thing. I was telling Moshe this. But it was like, I felt good when COVID happened. And I felt kind of what everybody was going through. But I knew I was good. And now you fast forward a year and a half, and it's like, I know I'm good. And everybody's, you know, now they're getting all excited. And, oh, my God, everything's opening up, and we get to go back. And I'm like, you know, just, again, be aware of them all feeling that. But just completely, like, I mean, I just lack of verbiage, but in a way feel disconnected. But again, not like I'm missing out. I have no yearning to go anywhere with people or go to where there are people. And it was like this feeling of, you know, about the move, and now it just seems like there's more construction and more traffic, and it takes longer to get out of LA. So that voice was like, you gotta move. And I was like, okay. And I did this one day. I just like, what's the most important thing? It's to be the best of me in every moment, to be present. Doing that is pretty much taking the number one slot in my mind. Like, am I going to do this? Or am I going to do this? Am I going to go there? Am I going to do this? Like, shh. I like how I feel when I'm calm and present. I'm going to do that. And I kind of started doing that. Because, you know, with the whole getting back to normal, I already had two clients leave town. Another client just told me yesterday, leaving for 2 weeks. Two or three clients this week had to, you know, change their schedules, you know, so getting busy, work, you know, I can just feel all that, you know, it's like that canoe sitting in the Zen pond. I can feel the ripples. Not really bugging me. It's not really, I'm not grabbing the edge of the canoe, holding on, going, hey, I can just feel it. everybody else's energy. I can just feel that. So I woke up one morning, it was a Tuesday, and I got in my car, and I was like, gonna go to the beach, and I kind of started feeling all that, like I don't like driving to the beach, and it takes longer, and there's more traffic, and I was like, and it was just this chat out of nowhere I had with myself going, you can choose to have, hold, focus on whatever you want inside your head between your two ears. If you want to think about the traffic and be in traffic and be this is bad traffic and it's draining me, go ahead. How about you just get to? When you get there, you're at the beach and you get to stay as long as you want. So I'm going to run these errands and I'm going to get there when I get there and get done when I get done. Because I had to come back for one client, Mosher. And I was like, yeah, that was kind of cool. Like I had that level of chat with myself running errands about my mental state. And it was kind of like, you're going to be calm going to the beach. No matter how long it takes. Because you get to go to the beach. You know, it's like this. It's not, oh, if I had a bigger house, better car, more money. That doesn't change your mental state. Can sometimes make it worse. It's like, wow, I have all this and I'm not in control of space between my ears. I don't think that's any better. So I start chatting with Mosher. And it was like this cool conversation that what he was kind of going through and experiencing kind of related to what I was going through. And he's like, if you go into a meeting and you have all this kind of bad energy from whatever, past experiences or whatever, how does that serve you in this now moment, in this present moment, in this meeting? And he's kind of talking about like picking, choosing a mindset, one of positive, one that is positive, has positivity in it, going into that. And I was like, I mean, it's literally what I was talking about. Because like, if I just go, look, driving sucks, traffic sucks, and I don't like how long it takes, and that's my attitude before I even leave. And how can that even serve me? And I did it. I got in my car, pushed ways, and it was like an hour 10. And if it's an hour 10, I'm always just feeling better. Because when it's an hour 20 going over, you know, close to an hour and a half, it's just too long for me. It just kind of affects me. So I kind of felt cool going, hey, starting out hour 10, fine. Calm the whole way. You know, traffic kind of slowed down here or there, and I just didn't care. You know, it's like if the Waze is saying, oh, you arrive at 12:30, oh, 12:35, I start going, oh, you know, that. I was like, and nothing really was bothering me, and it wasn't because it was amazing traffic. I was just aware, going, stay here, you're fine. You're in a car, you got gas, you're going to a beach with your dog. Like, you're great. When you get there, you get there. And it just kind of stayed with me at the beach because it was this calm day. And I was able to kind of do two things. And the second one, something I really felt proud of. Like when I got done, I was like, I'm done. Like I finished that. I did the bounce. I did the stones. I did some, you know, land art. I did the sand. And it was like it was done. And I'm like, wow. And I had some treats for Mosher's dog. But Mosher's dog was with his wife and they had just left town. So I wasn't thinking about stopping there. But I'm like, you know what, I'm just close, traffic's going to suck, so just text them, hey, you available, not get in your car, go home. Text them, is he available? I said, okay. So I just figured I was going to, you know, stop by, pop by, and he kind of just finished working. So he's like, yeah, come on in, and I ain't been to his house in a while. And it was like I said, I kind of was, you know, always looking to go there the next time to see Norman, because I love his dog. But it was just kind of cool because he's all fired up on Zen. He was focused on Zen, and Zen's running around their house and, you know, just got good energy. And I think Zen senses that. He's just like, I don't know, he's like his favorite place to be, and he's been there like twice, but running around. He's like, come on, let's go sit outside. So we go out, we go sit in the back. And I guess, you know, you don't take in everything when you go somewhere the first time, but I just knew I loved his house and his front yard and his backyard and the view and all that. And just felt like it was lived in more. They had a few things up. They had like one wall full of dog photos framed. This is our dog wall. And it was just like cool and homey, more, you know, more homey, and it just felt good. And we went out in the back and we sat, and I was just like, you know, and I just went in, and he's like, we're continuing our conversation from this morning. I said, literally, we were. And he calls Zen. Zen hops up by him, grabs a toy of Norman's, and he's sitting by Scotty, and we're sitting on his deck, and we're just out there in the backyard. And I'm like, you know, these, I talk about, you know, meeting these new artists and having these cool conversations. But my time with Mosher now, and, you know, it's going on, I guess, 8 years, and the level of conversations we have. And, you know, I wasn't, hey, can I stop by and hang? I was just like, you know, let me just drop these treats off. If you're available, cool. If not, no worries. And that's all. Stand in his front yard, drop it off, say, hey, what's up, how you doing, then leave. But just to go in and kick it and hang and continue that conversation, I love that dude. Like, he is just one of the most special people in the world to me. And here's one of the biggest difference. Very few people, and this isn't, you know, I'm not judging at all, but very few people go, hey, how are you? But Scott will stop and he goes, well, how are you? And he really means it. And I'm going to answer. And whatever I answer, we're going to talk about. He's the only person I experience that with. And it's just a special thing. It's just a very, 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 very special thing. Special person, that dude. So one person I've loved for a very long time listener, mentoree, friend, Joe Ringaneri. And he always sends me these updates, and I love them. And they're always real. And they're always Joe. Hey, Tom, quick update on life. My wife is pregnant, a little over 12 weeks. Baby and mama are healthy, and so far all is good. Meanwhile, 2 weeks ago, my wife's mother was diagnosed with cancer. She started chemo treatments today. Everything I've learned has led me here. I keep thinking that every time bad happens. I heard someone say once, you won't want to hear flames forge steel. You'll just want to stop burning. But if the steel has already been forged, doesn't he just recognize the fire? I am the storm, right? We'll be fine. We're ready and excited for the baby, and we'll do our best to be here for my mother-in-law. Tough times are ahead, I know, but I'll do my best to be grateful for all that I have. Thanks for the lessons. Like, I can't put that any better than that. Here's the good. Here's the bad. Here's what I must focus on. Being thankful for what I have. That I have the knowledge that I'm better. That I have the clarity. That everything comes down to my response. And I'm never going to get to that place where there is no suffering, because suffering is a part of living. It's not separate. There's a song by Lee DeWise. He's an American Idol dude. And I hadn't heard any music from him for a long time. And once in a while, I go on iTunes and I just start looking. And I was like, wow, Lee DeWise. And I listened and I got 3 new songs from him. And it was just really, really cool. Like, I like his voice. I don't know. I just like his music. But this one song, it has this line, and it says, when it comes down to it, and just repeats, when it comes down to it, when it comes down to it. It just keeps going, and it's like, we were alive. And I just took it like, because I say this all the time, like, if you died and you just got a quick look back at your life, like, what would you say? Last month, last week, yesterday. Like, I was thinking about what, I was focused on what, I was worried about what, I was trying to get what. I was putting all my time and energy into who? I was just like, you know, we were alive. We could do anything. You know, we could just fall back into a puddle. We could fall face forward in the snow. We could make the biggest jerks out of ourselves. We could laugh at ourselves. We could fall down. We could run. We could jump. We could skip. We could cry. You know, I don't know, just this song just stuck with me. Like, when it comes down to it, when you look back, we were alive and you could do anything. Well, I didn't feel like it. Fine. I didn't deem myself worthy. Fine. These are choices. One of my quotes all the time, choices, make them good or bad, they're yours. They're your choices. Now, I'm not saying it's not challenging to make good choices. Of course it is. Hence, deem yourself worthy. Deem yourself worthy. Like, if you had 6 months to live, would you live differently? Something to think about. If you were taken tomorrow, what do you think the first thought would be in your head? If you had a moment, quick, before you go on to the afterlife, you have 30 seconds to reflect on your life. I know, me, like, dude, love the last 2 years. 2020, 2021, love them. Thank you. I know I would. I had that clarity after the accident. As soon as it stopped rolling, and I knew Zen was gone, there's nothing else in my head. I knew the most important thing, the most important thing in my life, what I was going to do. There was no gray at all. There was no other people in my mind. There was no other thing in my mind. It was just boom. And then I got him back. If that did not solidify everything I felt right after that crash and for the next 7 hours, nothing would. But it did. It's like, all right, now I know. I can control these two little things. And when I do that, makes me feel good. So I can just sit here and focus on these two little things, control them, and feel good. Like, I literally can control that. There's this shift. I was like, wow. And I felt it because it lasted. It wasn't temporary. See, feelings are temporary. A state of mind can be permanent, in my humble opinion. And again, it just keeps getting better. These are some things I said to people. I'm preparing you to receive the good that awaits you. I love that. I said that too. You're writing a beautiful story about yourself, so let's enjoy it. I've evolved enough to look back to see how bad I've been. And that wasn't a fun ride. Like, you know, I vibrate higher, I evolved, I'm a better me. I look back and think at certain times and... But, you know, that thing can't dwell in the past. But it's real, though. Like, it, you know, you can't just block out everything. You know, we're not machines. And that affected me. You know, when I look back and I can just go, wow, that was you. It's like, shh, that's not a good feeling. I've never worked so hard as I have on a gift for a friend for their turtle habitat. They just going back, this friend I have in Florida, Lisa and her daughter Valentine, and they got this little turtle and they're showing me this habitat and some pictures and stuff, and I was like, why don't I just make one of those little shelters? And then it had this bridge and some other things. And so as a surprise, I was like, well, I'll make this little turtle habitat shelter. You'd not believe how long this thing took. I kind of made like a box, and then I was gonna, you know, cover it with sticks to make it kind of look like a log cabin. Well, gathering the sticks, obviously, I was like, well, I don't know where there's sticks, and I had to kind of go, and I was like, wow, Zen's puppy park is kind of lies in the middle of woods, so all around the edges, there were some broken little sticks, and they kind of turned out to work, but I couldn't find enough, and I had some that I bought, and there wasn't enough to make the bridge, so I cut the ones I had in half to make this bridge, and then the sticks I found, I was like, okay, now I'll, you know, put those on, and to line them up so they kind of, you know, blend together, and then to cut them, measure them, sand them, place them, glue them. And I did the front where I put a little door and a little window. So I had to cut all these little pieces around this. So I got done with the front. So there's the two sides, the back and the top. I'm like, I'm so done. And I'm like, well, they'll put it in the corner. That's where the other one, you know, the model that she sent me was. You know, you put it in the corner. So you'll see the front, you'll see the top, and you'll see the one side. I'm like, that's all I'm doing. And I had to go back to the puppy park, grab more sticks, come back. So I think it was around four days. And on the Saturday, it was basically on and off all day long. I could not believe the time that went into this. And it actually should be arriving like today or tomorrow. I shipped it last week. But I didn't post any pictures yet because it was a gift. And she's online and I don't want to see her. But it took... I just, you know, when you think like, oh, this little small thing. It was phenomenal. And I got some videos coming that I'll post. But like when you just see me, like it's a 7-minute video and I put two little sticks on. Because you know, measure them, and you cut them, and then you sand them, and then you glue them, and then you paste them, and then you get the other one, and you cut it, and you sand it, and it's like, but very, very cool. So cool that I wanted to make something for myself. I wanted to make some little house structure thing, and I've always kind of been into that, dug it, and this is my first real attempt to do it, but part of me wanted to keep this little one that I made. I had this old, gnarly board with this gnarly grain in it, like just the old piece of board, but it wasn't straight, it didn't have straight edges, and I was like, some sort of shelf, some sort of something I'll use it for. I had no idea, because it's not, you know, square, the edges, nothing is square or straight about it. And I'm like, yeah, but could I cut four square pieces out of it, just like for the walls, because then I wouldn't have to do the stick stacking, you know, glue it on. I'll just use this gnarly wood as the whole hut. And then I'll add the sticks for the roof. So that's what I've been working on. Enjoyable, fun, time-consuming. But I broke a stick and one end jammed into my palm. Hard. Cut my palm. And the palm opens and closes. Like, you can't put a Band-Aid on the inside of your palm. Like, there's, you know, that thing is, you're going to open and close your hand, and that wound's going to open and close. So it's taken forever to heal. And yesterday, same thing. I grab a stick, I break it, you know, because the end's crooked and I'm just trying to grab straight pieces. Break it, boom. I jab the same hand in the same exact unhealed spot. And then I got home and I was cutting the sticks, and I got these Japanese knives, saws. And they're hella sharp. And I slipped off the stick and went right into my finger. And oh my, it's like you could just go right down to the bone so easy. I knew it was pretty good, but not, I'm pretty sure I didn't need, I heal pretty well, so I'm pretty sure I didn't need stitches. So go run in the bathroom. Of course, I'm out of Band-Aids. So I grab this gauze patch, green electric tape, throw it on there. So I'm like thinking to myself going, yeah, I'm just lucky I have all my toes and fingers at this point. All the stuff that I do and how often I hurt myself. I just got to be careful. And then a really crazy thing happened in that same moment. I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And I had a client cancel. and my days blend together. So automatically in the morning, I was like, oh, I have this day free. And didn't look at my schedule the rest of the day. Right when I cut my finger, I went and got my phone and realized my phone, I have no clue. Sometimes I hear it, and then other times there's no noise. Like I said, my phone rang like an hour before, and I answered it. So here was three messages, never rang one time, and I look, and I totally forgot about a client. But I just finished wrapping my finger. I got on the phone, I called her, so sorry, apologize. You know, cause I just don't do that anymore. I used to kind of, you know, not always be present, not always be focused, and there was times when I would forget things or miss things. But I don't do that anymore at all. And it's crazy because, again, I just like got it in my head. This is a different day. This is a day you have free. Okay, go. That was it. It wasn't Wednesday. It wasn't what, you know, it was just this day that was now free. And that would be kind of a rough way to start a conversation. But immediately, this client starts telling me what they've been doing, what they've been focusing on. And we ended up talking, I think, for like a half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that, in lieu of not having our session. And I'm walking around going, you know, because Ines is like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I just no idea. And then it completely transcended. It's like, I think this is the best this woman has ever sounded. Like, she was telling me things she just started doing, like big things and like changing. Like, I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to work on this sleep thing. I did this. I'm doing. I was like, and I've been with this person on and off for a long time. And it was so weird because I was present all day. You know, I really was present. Even when I got, you know, hurt and cut myself, I was present all day. And I wasn't dwelling. I was like, look, I honestly made a mistake. But next thing you know, I was in the moment. And I was present, and all I was doing was listening to her good. Like, her light was shining like never before. Like, she was just, and again, like, I just love this. Like, you know, I'm trying to stop bleeding, you know, and you cut any fingers, you know, they're really got 1,000 nerves in them, so they're tender and sensitive. So, you know, it's pulsating. I'm trying to stop the bleeding, and I got no Band-Aids, and you know, so kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off, but I'm still fine. And then I transcend right into, oh, client, okay, missed it, all right, apologize. Okay, now what? Listen to her talk. And I ended up like 15 minutes later going, well, I'm just chatting with her. Let me just walk Zen because I was going to take Zen out. And so I walked Zen for like a long time, just kept talking to her and just kept listening to her and really being in that moment and aware of how great she sounded. And then she started kind of realizing how great she was sounding. And it was just magical moments. Like, again, getting up in the morning and training Scott and having these conversations and then going to the beach. And then ending up sitting on, you know, Mosher's deck, hanging out, him petting Zen and chatting. Like, and this, I think I'm getting to the title of this episode. Just not sure yet. And it was a quote that was said a long time ago. But every moment is a learning moment. Like every single moment. Pick, respond, choose a thought. How are you going to feel? What are you going to do? Because like I'm leaving the beach going to come and text Scott. If he's like, cool, come over, I will. If he's like, busy, not. Come in, chit-chat in the front yard. He's like, all right, I got to go. Cool, leave. He says, hey, come on in. All right, cool, come on in and hang out. And then I get in my car, and I'm like, wow, his place is so cool. And one of the first thoughts, and this is I ain't even told anybody this yet, but the trippiest thing was seeing his home. Seeing his yard, and it's so incredibly zen, and just air, you know, windows open, and the air just blows through the whole place, and it's spacious. It's just, you know, it's not big, it's not gaudy, it's not too, you know, it's just everything. But it's like you leave, and you're like, well, wouldn't you like to have that? It's like, well, Zen's running around fired up. Big house, yard in the front, yard in the back. I mean, wouldn't Zen want to have that? Shouldn't you have that for Zen? And it was just a little thing going, see, these are all the factors. These are all the little things that will just enter. And it's like you're just like a conveyor belt. Like you're letting them go this way, all this way. It's like, oh, let these thoughts go that way. Let them go. Because it doesn't matter. You know, because there's moments where Scott, in that life, in that home, has struggled. You know, lost a dog. You know, so it's like that whole, like, you know, it's between your ears. It's got diddly to do with what you have, own, how much, anything around you. You could be the poorest person and the happiest person. You could be the richest person and the most miserable person. But like I said, for me to go, I had this conversation. I had this moment at the beach. I had this moment with my dog. I had this moment with the same client later at his house. I had another amazing moment with a client. See, I'm highly aware that that's what's happening in my life. And those weren't moments that were happening in my life prior. So I deemed myself worthy. I've gotten better at being me. My life as is has become easier because I'm focused on that which I can control, which are very few things, which has become a superpower, which has also enabled another superpower to happen simultaneously, which is letting go of the things that you can't control. They don't have anything to do with you. It's information. Car needs gas. Okay, go into the gas tank. Need to buy some groceries. Okay, go into the grocery. Just information. That person's not in your life anymore. Okay. You're not going there today. Okay. Hey, this happened. Okay. Information. Just get that. Obtain information. Move forward. So, it's a cool time to be me, and I mean that in the most sincere way, like to not have any of the bad and to have the good, and then just, like I said, to start the year and, you know, get my art in a store and be invited to LEAF, and then work, you know, have the opportunity to create a film, and then have, you know, Mosier and Allender work on the film. And then it'd be so awesome, and then LEAF to be this amazing weekend that forever changed my life. And now I'm chatting with these dudes. Like, I can tell you it wasn't this way for 50 years of my life. It was not this way. Now it is. And now I'm helping people. And I just had a little, you know, moment where a dude 4 weeks in was like, okay, here's what changed. Here's what's going on. Here's the tangible difference I'm experiencing. So if you'd like to chat, like none of these people are like, man, I was so pumped on reaching out. It was like, I was worried. I was nervous. I didn't want to. I felt uncomfortable. And it's like, that's the hardest thing. Just the reaching out, that first thing. Because then it's like, oh, hey, I feel better. Wow, I like talking to Tom. Every time I talk to Tom, I feel better. I kind of guarantee that. Every time you chat with me, every session, you will feel better after. You will feel different, but you will feel better after. And I love doing that. I love that that's where I roll right now. Like, that's where I'm vibrating. There hasn't been a person that's reached out to me that I haven't been able to help. All my people in 2020 were the best they ever been. All my clients in 2021 are the best they've ever been. I got a dude that's in 4 weeks and he's already the best he's ever been. And I would just like to help more people. That's it. I'm not striving for more income, a bigger house, a house like Mosier, nothing. I'm not striving for anything. As soon as I got, hey, you should. I'm like, yeah, let's kick that out. Be present and chill and be thankful. And I lay down on the floor and hug Zen. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. And that's power. And it's incredible, feel good, pro you, nothing but power. But just remember, anything of true value is never easily attained. Thus, you must deem yourself worthy. And why? Because you are worth it. Do that thing that we can do, control stuff, seated on the floor, legs folded if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, draw the navel into your spine. We're going to draw the inhale through the nose, we're going to allow the exhale out the mouth, we will slow the breath down, we will focus on it. Concentrate on the control and elongate it. That will keep us connected to our breath. That will keep us connected to the moment, keep us present. And that's where we will remain to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin. Now. done. Bravo. Total success. You know, it always pops into my head when I do these pro you moments, little things done consistently. It's like, how did I get here? How did I get to 2021 having my favorite artists on my podcast? Little things. Just doing little things consistently. That really, truly make a huge difference over time. It's that little drop of water over thousands of years cuts through a mountain, creates a river. That's your life. It's not going to be an hour. It's not going to be overnight. Won't be next week. But over time, you can change the direction of your life. Starting today, choosing your thoughts, choosing your words, choosing who you hang out with, choosing what you watch, choosing what you listen to, what you read. And you can get better at that today. And you'll be that much better tomorrow. Then there you go. You've just begun the journey of finding a better you. That's my wish, that's my hope, that's my prayer for everyone listening. And however you do it, you become a better you. Peace and God bless.